Breakfast Beat on 91.3 FM. Your voice in the morning.
So medical scheme premiums are about to increase. In fact, an increase will already come the 1st of January by CPI plus 5% if you're lucky. Some medical aids went up by 10% already for most medical schemes. Now, these increases are a result of an aging, sicker population using more services, apparently, and not by medical schemes affording doctors excessive tariff increases. As medical schemes member, being aware of your rights as far as PMBs, you must have heard that terminology before, prescribed minimum benefits go. It could save you a lot out of the pocket healthcare expenses in the coming year. Now, I'm joined online by Johan Serfontein, Dr. Johan Serfontein, to talk to us about this. Dr. Johan, thank you for joining us on Breakfast 91.3 FM. A lot of people hear the terminologies, you know, the jargon that goes with medical aid, PMBs, etc., etc. Why are medical scheme premiums increasing annually?
I think one of the big problems is the fact that the population that belongs to medical schemes are getting older and sicker. And unfortunately, also the fact is because medical schemes are getting so much more expensive every year, you find that people buy down to cheaper plan options with less benefits, and then, you know, and so those lower plans especially then start getting more expensive because the sicker patients are sort of migrating to them. So, you know, and we're not getting young, healthy members into the system to cross-subsidize them because the young members don't see the point of joining a medical scheme. So, you know, it's kind of an unfortunate situation.
Mm. And you know, when they come up with all this jargon. There's something called PMB, premium prescribed minimum benefits, and you've got to ask yourself sometimes: have you made the list? What are those benefits?
So there are 270 prescribed minimum benefit conditions and 25 chronic diseases. So those are disease conditions and diseases which your medical scheme by law has to cover the diagnosis and treatment of those conditions, sort of at least at a minimum level of what is available in the state for a patient. And those were put in place to ensure that patients who run out of benefits for, you know, sort of hypertension and things like that, don't stop taking their pills in August and then get a stroke, you know. So, So it's to protect patients from catastrophic medical expenses, because these diseases are invariably all expensive to treat.
Right. And if you look in terms of medical scheme members, you know, how well aware should they be when it comes to the PMBs and which could result in saving a lot out of the pocket, because at which point does the whole co-payment system kick in?
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate that medical scheme members are not always very informed about PMBs, you know. So the PMB list, the complete list, is downloadable on the Council of Medical Schemes website, and patients should actually look at that. If they have a kind of a disease that seems to be something that is going to be requiring treatment on an ongoing basis, it's always good to go and have a look and see if it's there. Because you'll find that unfortunately sometimes medical schemes don't pay for these things out of risk as they're supposed to. Sometimes they pay out of savings until you register the condition with them. And then they start paying it out of the risk funds, which, you know, is not funds that come out of your pocket directly per se. But so it's very important to inform yourself about these things as a medical scheme member.
Yeah, and also, I mean, if you look at the PMBs and you know the list the items on the list that it consists of, and now you've got conditions something like you know, attention hyperactivity disorder, like the ADHD, the ADDs, etc., and that medication is not on that list, and it can cost you something like $700 over the counter.
Yeah, look, obviously not everything is on there, and they're supposed to review the PMBs every 2 years, but that hasn't happened for many years. They started a current review that we're busy with at the moment in 2016, and it's really taking a long time to do this review. But, you know, certain conditions are on there and certain aren't. You know, for instance, rheumatoid arthritis is a PMB, but osteoarthritis is not, and both of those could, when severe, could, you know, cause you big problems. So certain diseases are on there and certain just aren't, you know. But, you know, that's why it needs to be reviewed to make sure that it stays relevant for what the disease burden is at the moment.
Mm. Just before I let you go, you know, in a nutshell, how can medical aid scheme members also be sort of network savvy?
Look, I think it's important. There's a lot of schemes appoint designated service provider networks to that channel their patients towards. So, you know, it's important to know whether your scheme has those in place, because if you use those network providers, you'll find that you don't have a co-payment. You know, the contract the doctor signs in the scheme will include if they don't ask you a co-payment normally. So it's important to find out, does your scheme have something like that? The same with hospitals. You know, they might have a hospital network which you then need to use. Unless it's an emergency, you know, then, but yeah, otherwise, if it's a voluntary admission, you'll find that if you use the network hospital, you probably won't have a co-payment, and if you use a network doctor, you won't have a co-payment either. Of course, you always have the problem that some of the more super specialized specialists do not belong to these networks, and then, you know, if you have something that's not run of the mill, you could end up having a co-payment in any case.
Yeah. Either way, if you look at it. Dr. Johannes Seventeen, thank you so much for joining us this morning on Breakfast 91.3 FM. Know your medical benefits, avoid the costly co-payments, is what we spoke about.